College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Virginia head coach Tony Bennett. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, I want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Audible. With an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more, for a limited time, you can join Audible for just $4.95 per month for your first 3 months. It's regularly $14.95. Offer available to new Audible members ending December 31st, 2017. So go to audible.com/hoops to get started. They have an absolutely unbeatable selection of audiobooks, all with fantastic performances. You can easily transform your long commute and ride with Audible. If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. For a limited time, you can join Audible for just $4.95 per month for your first 3 months. It's regularly $14.95. The offer is available to new Audible members, and it's ending December 31st, 2017. So go to audible.com/hoops or text hoops to 500-500 to get started. And as we get set with all your Audible needs, we have to look at our main headlines from the weekend, and we start out west in the desert with Bobby Hurley and Arizona State and the emergence of a team that yours truly, and I think a lot of America, felt was probably a bubble team heading into this season, but has completely transcended, in my opinion, the start of the 2017-18 college basketball season after beating Kansas at Kansas on Sunday. I personally voted Arizona State as the number one team in college basketball this past week, because when you look at the merit that this team has earned based on beating Kansas at Kansas and based on beating Xavier, another top 10 team, on a neutral court in Las Vegas, no team in college basketball has the amount of quality wins as the Arizona State Sun Devils in terms of the magnitude of those two victories against Kansas and Xavier. And one thing you need to look at, Arizona State is not winning these games against Xavier and Kansas by banking in a half-court shot at the buzzer. Arizona State, in those two victories over the Musketeers and the Jayhawks, two games which neither was played in Tempe on Arizona State's home floor, has seen Arizona State average 98.5 points per game. That is astonishing in terms of the offense. And I think when you look right now at Arizona State, why are they having so much success? It's another example of how smaller and more skill is starting to take precedent over being traditional. Arizona State was flourishing, okay, with four guards on the floor against Kansas. Trey Holder, Shannon Evans, Cody Justice, and the freshman Remy Martin, who came off the bench to have 21 and 5 steals. It's better right now in college basketball to be hard to guard than it is to be traditional. And as far as teams in the state of Arizona, we have to talk about Arizona under Sean Miller continuing to find its way. Arizona last week got a huge win over Texas A&M in Arizona and also beat a very good Alabama team on Saturday night in Tucson. DeAndre Ayton, okay, pound for pound, inch for inch, one of the best freshmen I've ever covered in college basketball. I put him up there with an Anthony Davis. I put him up there with a Karl Anthony Towns. But I think right now, when you look at what is the biggest difference between this Arizona team now versus the team that we saw in the first couple of weeks of the season, this team's obviously a little bit better defensively, but they're also finally having a third scorer emerge next to Ayton and Alonzo Trier in freshman wing Brandon Randolph. He's had double figures in four of his last five games. Another thing that I took away from this past weekend, Kentucky came to the city in which I live, New York City, pounded Monmouth, continued to feast on lesser competition, but the rubber is about to meet the road for the Wildcats. The next three games for Kentucky Virginia Tech at home, who I think could be the best passing team that Buzz Williams has ever had. Then you have UCLA in the CBS Sports Classic. Then you have Louisville. We are going to find out an awful lot about Kentucky in the next 2 weeks. And also, I want to get to this on the heels of, obviously, Kansas getting decimated by Arizona State and giving up 58 points in the second half on Sunday. I think right now, and we've spent some time talking about the conferences in college basketball and who is going to be where in terms of NCAA tournament representation. Right now, and I'm not saying it's going to be this way for the entire season, but right now, the most complete team in the Big 12 is TCU, and I wrote this in my column on Monday. You look right now at Kansas, there's obvious issues in terms of front court depth. You look at West Virginia, they don't have the depth that they've had the past couple of years to press and play the way that Bob Huggins wants to play. Now, that may change somewhat in January when Issa Ahmad comes back from his suspension, but right now, I think if you look at the Big 12 and your forecasting teams, if there was one team right now that I would like more than others in terms of its completeness, it's TCU. You've got two talented combo guards in Jalen Fisher and Alex Robinson. Their size up front. You've got an under-the-radar star in Kenrich Williams, Mr. Double-Double, Mr. Underappreciated. And I think the biggest difference right now in TCU this year versus TCU last year, in addition to another year of experience, is front court depth. Kawhat Noy, okay, has been a big-time addition, and Ahmed Hamdi, the transfer from VCU, the graduate transfer, has been a quality addition. Those two players right now off the bench, Kawhat Noy and Ahmed Hamdi, are averaging a combined 15.9 points and 7 rebounds off the bench. That's like adding one all-league caliber front court player. And, you know, people are going to say, well, TCU hasn't really tested themselves as much with the schedule. I think when you split the atom, that becomes a little bit of nonsense. They've beaten Nevada on a neutral court. Nevada's the best team in the Mountain West Conference. They've beaten SMU, okay? SMU's a team that beat Arizona and also beat USC. Also, TCU's beat a couple of good mid-majors in Belmont and Yale. So I think TCU right now will enter the Big 12 at 12-0. And I think right now, at least until things stay the way they are for Kansas and West Virginia, you have to look at the Horned Frogs as being the most complete team in the Big 12 Conference. Who is the best team in the ACC Conference other than Duke? Could it be Virginia? We check in with the head man of the Cavaliers, Tony Bennett, on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Virginia is 8-1 after 9 games here in the 2017-18 season. They have perennially become one of the top programs in the ACC under Tony Bennett, and the aforementioned head coach joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And, you know, beyond Tony Bennett's dominance on the sidelines and stoic demeanor and under-control teams, well-embedded moles have told me that Tony Bennett is a pretty big 90s hip-hop fan. So the million-dollar question is, what right now is at the top of the playlist on the iPod?
John, here's a funny story. My son and I were watching a movie. He's 15, and it was the Kingsmen. I can't remember what if that was the title. It was their second movie, The Kingsmen. And there was a remix of a song, Word Up, by Cameo. And I started singing the words to the song as we're watching the movie. And my son looks at me, he's like, how do you know that song? I said, that is one of the greater songs of, I think that was in the 90s. I might be dating myself. Shoot, it might have been the 80s. But you remember Word Up by Cameo? You might be too young, John, but that might, maybe it was even later. But so there you go. But I love New Edition. Boys to Men. We're talking about that group with New Edition. Think of all those great singers, Ralph Trasvant, Bobby Brown. You go on and on. There's so many, Johnny Gill and a few more. But I love that stuff. I love listening to Lecrae right now. There's a rapper named NF. There's some good stuff. So that's just great music.
Well, and then I was thinking when I found out that you were a 90s hip-hop fan because, you know, everybody goes at you, you know, well, they play too slow, and I'm sure in recruiting people say you're not going to obviously be able to freelance like you'd play in other programs. I was like, I was wondering, does Tony ever just look at a parent or an AAU coach and say, I'm going to quote Montel Jordan, this is how we do it?
Another great song. there's so many good ones. No, you know, John, I'm so thankful. I'm blessed to have had this opportunity to coach here. I love the game of basketball. I love the college game because there's so many different ways to have success. There's different systems. There's different styles, and that's the beauty of the game. And And I think we work really hard to be as good as we can defensively. And I think there's a little more freedom offensively than people realize. But you can only control what you can control, and we just try to be as good as we can. And our league is so good. The ACC is such a good league that you always got to find ways that can help you be successful. And, you know, I guess one of the counters I say is we're trying to win, but the beautiful thing is guys are getting to play in the NBA, you know, replacing guys, they're having great careers, or getting started at great careers. So all those things, you kind of can have the education and try to play winning basketball and have a chance at a pro career. So I understand when people say those things, but it's about trying to be successful and true to who you are.
And, you know, the one thing that I've noticed covering your teams the last 5 or 6 years of Virginia is the product has been so consistent. And I think the only time where Virginia didn't necessarily look like Virginia was last year against Florida in the NCAA tournament. What was it like for the first time, really, in a long time, ending on that type of a note?
Yeah, that was hard, and I wish that was the case. There's always, in a season, every team goes through struggles where you have your issues. You know, we didn't. You know, last year we were, you know, even this year we're a little less experienced and didn't have as much interior scoring. But when you know, it was a good year, really good year for us to get to the second round and win 20-plus games again. But when you get just dominated the way Florida did, part of that was how well they played. But part of it was we did not play well. It does motivate you to try to have a great off season, and I think it's what you learn in failure and losses and the adversity that I think is the real value. Like you figure, okay, what can we try to do differently to be better next time we get that opportunity or next year? So those are, you know, the big buzzword is a growth mindset. I think it's Carol DeWick or Angela Duckworth. One of them talks about grit. One of them talks about a growth mindset. They're sports psychologists. But that's really it. Do you learn and grow? Because I've failed so many times and watching my father restart programs at Washington State and Wisconsin and even Green Bay where I played, I learned, you know, man, you got to figure out ways that give you a chance. And whenever you get your ears pinned back, it's humbling. But you say, okay, how can we be better? How can I help our guys? And like I said, I've been fortunate to coach some really talented players. But when you're in a league with Carolina, Duke, Louisville, all these teams, you know you've got to really be good, and it's a small margin for error for almost every team in our league.
Well, and one thing, too, that, you know, it's important to point out in that Florida game was you didn't have one of your best players, even though it doesn't always reflect in the stat sheet, in Isaiah Wilkins. And, you know, I think with guys like Isaiah, you know, sometimes you forget how valuable they are. And then I watched him this year when you guys played at VCU, and somebody asked me after the game, says, how would you sum up Isaiah Wilkins? I said, he's like a great rug that just makes the room.
That's a great way to describe him. I might have to tell him he said that. I don't know if he'll like that or not. he's such a warrior. He does, like you said, doesn't show up on the stats sheet. Although when we played Rhode Island, I think he was the MVP of the NIT tournament we were in, and he had 18 or 19 in that game. He scored some in the post, but you know, he does so many things. He's the best or one of the best help defenders I've ever had, one of the better screeners I've had. And then he's always keeping balls alive on the glass and opportunistic scoring. So every team in America needs those type of players that understand their role, and they're like, they're all stars in their role, I guess, for lack of a better word. And his is great. That hurt us certainly when he wasn't out. But I really am glad you mentioned that about him, because I think he doesn't get a lot of attention for the value he brings to our program.
Virginia head coach Tony Bennett joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Cavaliers 8-1 through 9 games. Tony, how do you feel so far this team compares to some of the great teams you've had at Virginia?
It's different. I think it's probably one of the least experienced teams from that standpoint. I know every coach says that. That's not a crutch or an excuse. It's just true. But we do have experience in a couple of those key role players, in Isaiah Wilkins, and then Devin Hall's having a really good year. This team is so, I think maybe because right now, you know, there's not the Malcolm Brogdon, Joe Harris, Justin Anderson, Anthony Gill, those kinds of players. London Parentes, how could I forget his name? So I think they're kind of exploring their new roles, very talented guys with Kyle Guy and the likes. But I think they realize they have to be so good with their team defense, with their unselfishness and their willingness, that right now that's made them play some good basketball. We still have a lot to be determined, and we don't know how good we're going to be. But it's the closest, maybe off the court, I'm not even sure about that, but on the court, it's the most right now collective group. And of course, we won most of our games, so it's easy to be real good that way. But that's what I've seen. They realize they rely on each other, and I like that about them. They're fun to coach in that regard.
What's the biggest thing you and your staff took away from the loss against West Virginia that maybe you didn't know prior?
Yeah, probably don't go and play at West Virginia if at all costs. Coach Huggins, I love his attire on the sidelines. He's a great coach. I really like him. But that's an intense setting. I think it was important for us to go into that setting. Just how when you're playing against teams of that caliber on the road or at home, which we're going to see starting Saturday with Davidson and, of course, they're on out in conference play, you can't – the execution, the possessions – we always know possessions matter. That's kind of how we play. But I think it brings it into clearer focus. Like, hey, when you don't execute on an out-of-bounds play or you run an action and you screw it up and that possession is the difference when it's a two-point game with a minute and a half, you got the ball, well, those things matter. And I think that's – every coach is trying to instill that in their players – every possession matters the higher the ladder you go up in terms of games and competition.
Well, and when you play in the best conference in college basketball, the ACC, you're going to need all hands on deck. You've mentioned, yeah, obviously, about the seasons that Devin Hall and Kyle Guy are having. How big is it internally for Virginia to find a third scorer now moving forward in the conference play? And who do you think, yeah, that guy might be?
It's really important. So far this year we've had different guys at different times, and then some games where we've struggled a little bit and labored offensively. That's always a question, you know, whether, you know, Kyle hasn't been hot. But I think at times DeAndre Hunter can, at times Ty Jerome, Nigel Johnson, there's those guys. You'll see Momedy doing things. So we just got to keep exploring that and, not give up anything defensively. We got to be as good as we can. I know that's the consistent part, but I know that's our formula. Just look to find ways. You're always trying to make adjustments offensively, little things to be good, but finding a little more punch or offensive firepower from either another player or somehow we can get it, I think, is what we're looking at.
You know, one of the guys you mentioned is DeAndre Hunter. He's a player that redshirted last year, and that's really been a big piece of your program. And, you know, I think, yeah, if you look at college basketball right now, so many of the successful programs right now are redshirting guys. I think Villanova has 5 redshirt kids,
oh, wow,
in their rotation. You know, you guys had some great games with them over the past couple of years. Why are you such an advocate of redshirting players at Virginia?
Well, I learned the formula when I watched my father build the program at Wisconsin, and then I worked with Coach Ryan for a couple years. I learned, and then us at Washington State. You know, we're not we get really good, talented players. I think sneaky good players that are maybe not as highly touted. But if you're going to get into a talent for talent, man for man battle in the recruiting wars, we can't sustain that with the Carolinas, Dukes, the elite teams in America. And one of the ways we've done it is get guys in that are young, develop them, mature them, let them play through mistakes, let them grow so that when they're upperclassmen or have games under their belt, they can play against some of the one-and-dones or the younger all-American guys that some of these other programs are getting. That's getting a little more challenging, and we lost some guys to transfer because you know the transfer market now. To have guys either be willing to wait or just stick with it and grind through it. But when you do that, maturity, I think, is our best formula, and you're seeing that with the Miamis and Notre Dames and those teams that have come up, certainly Wisconsin over the years, upperclassmen playing and the chemistry and playing against the younger, talented teams. That's why North Carolina, I think, has almost, well, they won the national championship last year, almost before, is they were a little older and mature and experienced.
Virginia head coach Tony Bennett joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Cavs are 8-1 through 9 games. We'll next play this weekend. You know, Tony, you've mentioned your dad, obviously, a couple of times during this chat. How do you think you're like your dad as a head coach? How do you think you're different?
First of all, I love my dad. He's just been such a blessing to me in terms of what he's poured into me, what I've learned. He did something for me that I don't know many would do. you know, he decided to come out of retirement after his Final Four team at Wisconsin. He retired or stepped away. And he took the Washington State job for two reasons. One, he wanted to try to finish the right way relationally with the players, but he wanted to give me a chance. And he, for 3 years, basically we got our teeth kicked in at Washington State. But he turned the program over to me and said, son, I don't know how good you're going to be, but you have a chance. You have a chance to be a coach in a Pac-10 conference. At the time, it was the Pac-10. So he basically, I don't want to say he didn't tarnish his reputation, but he took all the bullets of those building years in Pullman, Washington, in a league that was tough, and then said, now you got some guys who are going to be juniors, what we just talked about. Here's your chance to be a head coach. And I kind of stand in awe of that, because that – not many would do that when they've been at the top of the profession and then go to a place like that and lose for 3 years. And you know, we won a few. So I love that. How I'm like him, I think I know the value of the possession, how to be sound defensively, you know, how to just give yourself a chance against the best. Where I'm maybe different, I have my mom's demeanor, thank God, a little more. I'm a little more, I don't want to say balanced, that sounds terrible, but a little more peaceful and calm on the sidelines than him. Though I still get the fiery Italian blood going at times, but those are probably the similarities and differences.
Well, building Washington State was an arduous task. How did the challenge of building that program in Pullman, Washington, compare to the challenge of sustaining success at the top of the ACC at Virginia?
Well, you know, it's similar in some ways. One of the things that drew me to Virginia is I always marveled at Stanford when I was in that league, because I loved what it stood for. It was the best of both worlds with, you know, the world-class academics, but you're competing in a major conference trying to be great. And when I saw when the opportunity at Virginia presented itself, hard decision, but it's that same thing. Can you build your program? I mean, you look at the Hall of Fame coaches in our league, and I have a poster of Rocky in my office, and it's like, you know, he just wanted a chance at a title fight, and I kind of, and it's a blue collar deal. And I said, can you go to a place like Virginia that's had some great success? You know, when Ralph Sampson was here, and then when Coach Jones was here, but can you get some consistent success against the storied programs and coaches and all of college basketball? And that's what motivated me. And again, we use the same formula. You get guys, you grow them up, and that's kind of the process we're in. Can we continue to take this thing to a high level and keep it sustainable? I mean, sometimes it dips a little bit and you regroup, but build kids, and you know, they're getting an unbelievable education and they're getting a chance to play, and now they're going to the pros and all that stuff. So I love it. I love the challenge, as daunting as it is, and thankful that I got the chance, for sure.
Well, and the daunting thing about the ACC is it seems like every program that was perceived to be at the bottom gets a little bit better every year. Like Boston College loses their top interior player last week for the season. Then they go and beat Duke at home. You know, one of those programs is in your state, you know, and it's Virginia Tech.
Yes.
What has it been like to develop an in-state rivalry with the Hokies? And why do you think it's a good thing, not just for obviously the state of Virginia, but for the ACC?
Well, VCU, too. I mean, that's a heck of a program, and Buzz has done a great job at Virginia Tech, as he did at Marquette. He's a really excellent coach, and he's gotten, you know, good tough players. They play hard. He knows what he's doing. You know, BC, I think, I don't look too much in the preseason polls, but they might have been picked second to last in our league or at the bottom. They beat Duke. You see them. Pitt, who just played West Virginia, you know, it was a two-point game at one point there. You know, they weren't picked at the bottom. Like, the coaching in the league, the programs are getting established with some continuity with their coaches. It draws talented players. It's impressive. And then, again, you know, Buzz has just built, you know, Coach Greenberg was very good at Virginia Tech, and now Buzz has come in, and that program's built. He got them to the tournament last year, and he really, they're bringing in good players, and they play so hard. So, it's impressive. You know, that's going to be a war regardless because of the rivalry, but he's turning that into a heck of a team. Think of Miami in our league, those teams that have come up, Florida State. There's sort of the unheralded ones that are really good. Us, North Notre Dame, it's kind of a impressive league in that regard.
Virginia head coach Tony Bennett here on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Cavaliers 8-1 to start the season. You know, Tony, your body of work at Virginia and Washington State speaks for itself. But, you know, in 2017 and soon to be 2018, to be the head coach at a major program, in some ways you become the face of the university. And I know that, obviously, we're thrilled to have you on right now. We know how busy your time is. But I've always felt that despite your massive success, you're very comfortable operating your life in the shadows. Why, in a day and age where it feels like people in athletics really crave to be in the spotlight, Tony Bennett is very comfortable not being in the spotlight?
I don't know. You get so much attention whether you want it or not at this level. But I guess I look at this opportunity. I've learned a long time ago that it's really a gift. And, you know, for whatever reason, I've been put here to try to, you know, obviously win games, win championships, but to try to be the right kind of impact and influence on the young guys that I coach. And it can be taken away in a moment. I get that. And having played in the NBA for a little bit, someone I heard a long time ago say, hold things with open hands. Because if you try to strangle it to death, you know, it's you just never know. I've been around good people. I've seen it in my dad. My faith in the Lord is really important to me. And I think that gives me a peace and a perspective. At times it's challenged, you know, because this game and this profession can get you consumed. But when you have a piece and a perspective that's outside of basketball, I think that helps you enjoy it and, you know, deal with success and failure the same. And it's again, it's challenging, but I just am thankful for being in this spot. And I think when you have that mindset, that helps. But it's a process for sure, John. And, you know, I've seen the ups and downs of it. My sister was a coach, my uncle. I've seen the, you know, the successes and the failures. And I think it keeps you humble for sure.
Well, that perspective to me is what I really took away from, you know, what you said after you fell to Syracuse in the Elite Eight a couple of years ago. It was a very difficult game and your team had a huge lead. I thought that was unbelievable that you came out with that perspective right away. Your program has been on the cusp of getting to a Final Four. And obviously you were on the cusp in 2016. Once you coach in an Elite Eight, how does that change the internal infrastructure you have as a head coach? Because everybody always says that's the hardest game to coach if you're a head coach in college basketball.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I quite understand the question, but I know that was, you know, to be on the doorstep and Syracuse, you know, I think we were up by 15 or 16, you know, in the second half. And then they pressed us. They did some great stuff, and we faltered. I mean, it was kind of both and you could taste it. And I remember when I was an assistant, actually, I was a volunteer manager for my father, the trip he made to the Final Four. I remember that might have been the happiest professionally I've ever been to see my dad reach his dream. You know, it's something you aspire to as a coach, but as I said, you got to hold it with open hands. But you know, okay, you do things right, and it's attainable, but there's some great coaches who've not gotten there. But it's something in your profession you'd love to get the chance for your players, your university, and as a coach to experience. And so when you touch it or you knock on it or whatever, it makes you certainly want to try to get back there, but you know, you still don't go about how you get there. And I think you do it in the same way, and you have to be process-oriented and keep going. I don't know if I answered that the way you were asking it, but
nah, it's just, you know, you just always wonder internally what changes for a coach after a coach coaches in an Elite Eight. That's all.
Yeah, sorry, I gave a long answer to it. I think you realize, you know, the that's you know what, I need to think about that because it has something changed. I just think, you know, it's possible. The closer you get to something, that's the way I look at it. You know, this is really possible. You can do this. When you haven't gotten that close to, you know, what our profession deems a Final Four, you sort of say, well, what's that like? But when you get close, you say, you know what, it's possible and it's doable. It's just, and the formula doesn't change.
Well, the formula never changes to, you know, winning the ACC, and that you have to be really, really good every time you play. I know that you have a couple of non-conference games remaining, but it's December 12th right now, and obviously the holiday season is here, and everybody wants to spend time with their family and friends. But what is it like to know right now that every second and minute that goes by on the clock, you're getting closer to starting the ACC?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how to guard Davidson on Saturday. I think Coach McKelp's one of the best minds, the stuff he does is so good. So we got to really, we're in finals exams, and you know, at Virginia and most schools, that's no joke. I mean, that's a load on these guys. So we're trying to, where we take days off and practice and be as prepared as we can. So that's kind of, I just sort of go a step at a time. I haven't thought about it. You know, yep, our opening game is Boston College, and you're like, wow, they're good. So, but there'll be time to prepare for that. But every practice, every game is kind of preparing you for conference play. And you know, you're just not going to have a day off or a game off. It's just going to be that kind of competition because what you said, the depth of the league and the quality of it.
Well, we started this interview with some pop culture. And I'm just curious, since you said that you're a Rocky fan, did you enjoy Creed?
I loved it. I tell a lot of people, man, you got to check that out. I thought that was great. I didn't quite understand that, you know, they're doing wheelies on the motorcycles. That must be a Philly thing. But
That must be a Philly thing.
Yeah, I thought that was beautiful. And I was thinking about it. Can You Stand the Rain, maybe a top 5-10 song of all time by New Edition as we started it. That's if you want a great song. That might be one of the best. And then The World's Greatest by R. Kelly. Those are two good ones kind of from that time.
Enjoyed it, man. Tony, appreciate it. A couple minutes. Know how busy you are. Happy holidays, and you know, best of luck against Davidson and moving forward into the ACC.
Thanks, John. You do a great job, man. Appreciate it. That was a great interview.
We'd like to thank Virginia head coach Tony Bennett for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Once again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, I want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Audible. With an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more for a limited time, you can join Audible for just $4.95 per month for your first 3 months. It's regularly $14.95. The offer is available to new Audible members ending December 31st, 2017. So go to audible.com/hoops to get started. They have an absolutely unbeatable selection of audiobooks, all with fantastic performances. You can easily transform your long commute and ride with Audible. If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. For a limited time, you can join Audible for just $4.95 per month for your first 3 months. It's regularly $14.95. The offer is available to new Audible members. It ends December 31st, 2017, so go to audible.com/hoops or text HOOPS to 500-500 to get started. Now that we've got you set with all your Audible needs, let's get to the social media portion of today's College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes right now from Eric on Wheels, and it's John. Texas Tech was picked to finish 7th in the Big 12. Now that we're 10 games in, where do you see them finishing? And look, I've been very opinionated about this. I think that Texas Tech and TCU are going to finish in the top half of the Big 12. That would be both in the top five. I look right now at Texas Tech as having a bench that's able to go pound for pound with most teams starting five. Our next question comes from Mark Nucci, and it's John. Is Seton Hall a legitimate threat to win the Big East and make a run in the tournament? I think Seton Hall right now is a dark horse Final Four team. Seton Hall has veteran experience with Carrington Delgado and Desi Rodriguez, who is quietly playing like a Big East Player of the Year candidate. And I think you have to look at what they're getting out of Miles Powell as a sophomore. Miles Powell, the second leading scorer on Seton Hall, doing an unbelievable job shooting the basketball. And our final question comes from Harry World Peace. Who steps up at shooting guard for Texas with Andrew Jones likely out for a couple weeks? My money's on Eric Davis. Texas needs more out of him shooting the basketball if it's going to be in a situation where it can make the NCAA tournament and be a threat to do some damage come March. Now we've got you set with your social media needs. Let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, the aching 10. How many Atlantic 10 teams will play in the 2018 NCAA tournament? It's definitely something to monitor. The league's overall combined record is now just 64 and 65. Nugget number two, he's back. Phil Booth is just 9 of 18 right now from three-point range in Villanova's last three games. 9 of 18 is 50% for you counting at home. So doing obviously more than the mark there. And he was also 7 of 7 from the three free throw line in Sunday's win over LaSalle. He's back in a major way after missing last season with a knee injury. Nugget number three, X marks the spot. Xavier is averaging 93.6 points per game in its 7 home games. The Cintas Center, one of the more underrated home court advantages in college basketball. Nugget number five, rim protection. How about Florida State freshman Ike Obiagu? He's already one of college basketball's top shot blockers. He's blocked 3 or more shots in 6 of his first 9 college games. And nugget number five, Arizona's third wheel. I can't say enough about Brandon Randolph. Had 13 apiece last week against Texas A&M and Alabama. This is the third wheel that Arizona needed next to Trier and next to Ayton. How about some games to watch?
Games to watch. Games to watch.
Quiet week because of finals in college basketball. 3 big ones on the slate tonight. Mississippi State at Cincinnati, Michigan at Texas, St. Peter's at Seton Hall, and then Wednesday, Villanova at Temple and Houston at LSU. We'd like to thank Virginia head coach Tony Bennett for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.